If you do not repent, you will perish. If you do not repent, you will perish. These are some strong words which are given to us by our Lord in the gospel. And they have special meaning, special importance for us, especially in the season of Lent, in which we're called to repent in a very particular way. Now, repentance is something which is absolutely critical and necessary in order for us to be an authentic Catholic. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, we must repent from our sins. And we're called to repent from our sins. And if we don't, then we will perish. You don't have to take my words for it. These are the words of the Son of God himself in today's gospel. He says it twice. If you do not repent, you will perish. Now, there's some sins that if we do not repent from them, they can lead to a physical death. For example, I've known many people who had a chemical addiction to drugs or alcohol, and it destroyed their life, destroyed their health, destroyed their family, destroyed their career, and for many of them, it destroyed their life itself. Their physical life came to an end because of that sin, because of that addiction. There's other behaviors too, careless behaviors which take human life for granted and don't respect the dignity and the value of human life, such as aggressive driving or promiscuous lifestyle. These two, as well as many other types of sins, can lead to a physical death if we do not repent from them. So we can see that if we do not repent from these types of sins, that it will lead to death. If you do not repent, you will perish. But more importantly, if we do not repent, then it's going to lead us to a spiritual death. Because sin, as it at its very essence, is a separation from God's life, a separation from God's love, a separation from God's will. Any sin, no matter how insignificant we think this sin is, can lead to spiritual death if it's not repented of. Any sin. It's like cracks in a road. A perfect example is the road right out there. These cracks started small in the asphalt and in the concrete. They started small, but over the winters, the freeze-thaw cycle, these cracks became very large, and right now, that road back there, it's barely passable. So many potholes and chunks of concrete and asphalt. In a similar way, when we do not repent from sin, it's going to lead to something very serious. Because those sins in our life, even the small ones, we think they're small, they're like those small cracks, and if we don't get them sealed, removed by the sacrament of reconciliation, then eventually they're going to get bigger. They're going to grow into a very large crack, and then the whole surface will deteriorate. If you do not repent, you will perish. So how do I repent? Well, one way I mentioned last week was to just avoid the occasion of sin. If there's a person or a place that I know that every time I talk to that person or every time I go to this place or every time I do this thing or say this thing, I end up sinning, then we just avoid it. We avoid the occasion of sin itself. And that's going to help us to repent. Another way is to cultivate a desire in our heart to hate sin. We must hate sin. St. Francis de Sales writes in one of the most beautiful spiritual books ever, he's writing his book called Introduction to the Devout Life. He wrote it about 415, maybe 420 years ago, and it's as relevant today as it ever was. And in this book, he's basically taking the listener. He's writing this book for a person and taking them through some spiritual exercises like a retreat. And one of the points he makes to the person in this book is that it's important to hate sin. It's important to detest sin, and we say that in the act of contrition. It's important because if we hate sin, then we're going to be a lot less likely to get caught up in it. We're going to be a lot less likely to accept that temptation. If I hate something, I'm going to avoid it. On the other hand, if I like something, I'm not going to go out of my way to avoid it. Think of it like a food that you detest, like mayonnaise, right? Everyone hates mayonnaise. I will not get near mayonnaise. I hate it. We have to think that way in a spiritual sense with sin. With sin. We have to avoid it. We have to really ask God for the grace to hate this. Because let's face it, there's some sins out there, and they make us feel pretty good after we do it, right? They make us feel powerful or whatever. But in the end, we were worse off than when we began. We have to think about the consequences of sin, and that's going to help us to hate it. You know, think about what's the long-term effects. If I do this or if I say this, what's that going to do to my relationship with my God, with my family, with my co-workers? What's going to happen to me? Think about playing chess or a board game. You're thinking several moves ahead. If I move my knight to this place right here, what's going to happen to it? And in the same way, if I commit this sin, what's going to be the fallout from it? What are the consequences? And those are going to help you. Those consequences and meditating on those are going to help you to hate sin. We have to pray for that desire to hate it. We can also repent, and this is the most important way how to repent from sin, is to go to confession. This is the normal means. The sacrament of reconciliation is the normal means by which God gives to us, humanity, for the forgiveness of sins through the sacrament. There are extraordinary means, but this is the normal, the ordinary means by which Christ gives to the church for our sins to be forgiven. And it's something which, for most people, is not easy to do. And it requires a lot of humility, a lot. Even for a priest. I went to confession on Friday with Father Cook in Sandpoint. You know, most priests have to make an appointment with another priest to hear confession, to have their confession heard. You know why? When do most parishes hear confessions? Saturday afternoon. Where am I at on Saturday afternoon? 16.7 miles northeast of here in Usk. It's almost impossible for me, unless I'm on vacation or traveling through a city, to find a priest to hear my confession at a time in which is set at that parish. So as a priest especially, it's very humbling for a priest to say, call up another priest and say, Father, you have 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. I would like you to hear my confession. He knows who I am. And even if I go anonymously somehow, I still have to identify to that priest that I am a priest. So it's very humbling indeed. It's very humbling indeed. And that's why the church allows for us to go anonymously. We have that option here with a screen here in the confessional. You know, a lot of people also say, well, Father, I don't want to go to confession because I'm still struggling with this sin. I'm still struggling with this bad habit or with this addiction or whatever it may be. And I say, even more important to go to confession. And they say, well, Father, you know, my act of contrition, I'm promising to God that I will not sin in this way again. I'm like, well, guess what? Nobody can keep that promise because we're all sinners, all of us. Trust me. After you leave confession, later that day or later that evening, you're going to end up sinning. Why? Because you're human. We're frail and we're weak, and God knows this. God knows this. And so not only do we receive the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament of reconciliation, but God also graces us with a very special blessing to help us to avoid sin in the future, to help us to overcome temptation in the future. And it may not happen immediately, but it's very important to go regularly. And I tell people, if you're struggling with something very difficult, Go to confession often because there's so much grace there to help you to avoid this or to get out of this addiction or habit or no matter what it may be. Just go. Some people ask, Father, why are you always talking about confession? And the short and easy answer and the most important answer is this. Because Christ told us to do this. And it works. It works. If you do not repent, you will perish. We hear about this parable of the fig tree in the gospel. And I love the word of God. I love especially the gospels because these parables which Jesus tells, he tells these 2,000 years ago. And despite all the advances in science and technology and everything in these 2,000 years, we can still understand these parables, right? It's amazing to think about that. So he tells a parable of this fig tree. There's a fig tree, it hasn't produced fruit in 3 years. The owner of the field says to the gardener, I've been waiting for figs for 3 years. It's let me down, cut it down, make a bar stool out of it. And the gardener says, well, let's wait a second. Give me a year. Give me a year. I'll cultivate the ground. I'll take very good care of this tree. And after a year, if it's not producing fruit, we'll cut it down, we'll make your bar stool, we'll make a book, a bookcase, a desk, a shelf, whatever you want. But give me a year. What's interesting is Jesus is speaking of a timeline for repentance in there. He's speaking about a timeline for repentance and conversion. Now, I don't think that he's literally telling us, look, I'm giving all of you a year to clean up your act. And if you don't, you're done. That would scare me tremendously. You know, we're not like the angels in heaven who had an instant to make that decision. Love God or love Satan. Those who chose to love God, they remained as angels in heaven. Those who chose to love Satan or themselves became demons instantly. That decision was made in a moment. We have a lifetime to make that decision, but we cannot wait a lifetime to make that decision. Because it's very easy for a person to walk away from God, to forget about His great love, His great mercy. And in many lives, that desire to repent, it will diminish over time. And they will completely abandon God. Some people believe that they'll just wait until the end of their life, and then in the last hour at their death, on the deathbed, they will have everything magically fixed. They call for a priest to come in, priest will give last rites, apostolic pardon, and then voila, you're going to heaven. And I tell people who think that or who say that, I say, don't count on it. The first problem is timing. Timing is hard. We don't know the day or the hour of our death. I almost died several times coming down from Medellin Falls this morning on the black ice. I was not anticipating that this morning. I was not anticipating that at all. You know, we hear about people like St. Augustine and many people in the early centuries of the church. They waited until pretty much till the end of their life to be baptized. The problem is timing. And some people don't get that timing down. Another problem is that slowly over a person's life, he or she will begin to distance themselves from God and no longer have the desire to repent, to seek God. And I tell you what, I've visited several people in my priesthood on their deathbed, and they knew they were on their deathbed. The medical staff knew they were on their deathbed. The family knew that they were on their deathbed. There is no doubt in anybody's mind. And I came to their bed, and they rejected the sacraments. They rejected the sacraments. And you would think that at this moment in which they know they're going to leave this earth, they would say, yes, I want to repent. Yes, I want to be forgiven. Yes, I want the sacrament of forgiveness. I want the sacrament of anointing of the sick, of reconciliation. But some people don't. And at first, the first time it happened, I was just very puzzled. But I realized that if a person lives his or her life away from God, then at the end of their life, God is somebody or something very foreign to them, very alien to them. And they're not familiar with God's love, His mercy. They haven't experienced His mercy through the sacraments of the church, especially reconciliation and the Eucharist. And so they don't want it. That small crack of sin in their life developed into a great chasm, which separates them from God forever. And they don't want God to reach across that divide to bring them back. And it's very sad indeed. If you do not repent, you will perish. In the season of Lent, our Lord is asking us to repent from sin and to embrace His love and His mercy. And so the question this morning is this: will I do this? What is my decision? What is my choice? Will we repent from the sin in our life? We allow God to fix that small crack before it develops into something bigger? Or will I refuse to repent? Just allow those cracks to grow out of control. Will I embrace God's will, God's love, God's life, God's call to repentance and seek out His love and mercy? Or will I say to Him, not right now? If you do not repent, you will perish. Praise be Jesus Christ.